Ladies and gents, welcome to another edition of the Go Long Show at Go Long, golongtd.com, the podcast fueled by our good friends at Fatty Beer, which, let's say it right at the top, Jim, Saturday, pre-draft extravaganza, Hamburg, the Hamburg location, all details at the site. Make sure you come on over whenever you want. We'll probably post up around 2 o'clock. We just were talking a little bit about it before we dinged record, but rather than podcast and have a production take up time, we just want to drink with you and talk draft, talk Bills if you're a Bills fan here in Western New York. Hell, whoever you're a fan of, whatever you think about the draft, whatever you think about Go Long, come on out, introduce yourself. I'll be there. Jim will be there. Matthew Fairburn at The Athletic will be there. Jay Skursky of the Buffalo News will be there. Jeremy White of WGR 55, who you hear in the mornings here in town, he will be there. It is a star-studded affair. You know, I just texted all these guys, Jim, said, hey, what you got happening Saturday? Everybody has kids. Like, literally all three have kids and lives and craziness, and it's nice weather out. And just to show what kind of people they are, they didn't think twice. It was immediately, yes, let's do it. Let's hang out. So please come on out, introduce yourself. I'm sure we'll see some familiar faces as well. I cannot wait to do this. It's long overdue. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
What's happening? It's good to see us celebrating the draft time of year. It's about being outside. That's what I always associate with pro days, the draft, the weather. It's just everything gets a little bit better. Your team is going to be, you're undefeated right now, and you're about to get even better in a couple weeks. That's one thing we know, Tyler, because you're not going to miss on any picks. But what I do want to say about Fatty Beer coming up on Saturday, there's always a good chance hanging out, Tyler, the stories roll a little differently than sometimes on the pod. Would you agree? As far as we can get into some a new Bill edition, Lyle Collins from LSU and that whole story that we've talked about on the pod, but we can get into some other details on that story off the pod, you know, at Fatty Beer on how that went down, on his whole draft story, on how we almost basically would have been a first round pick. We were going to take him in the seventh round. He ended up being undrafted, but we sent Rex down on a little private jet to try to sign him as an undrafted guy and ended up getting into I think we did get a fine for that. So long story short is we could get into that story a little bit more.
Doesn't sound like the Rex I know. That does not sound like the Rex I know, Jim.
Well, does it sound like the combination of the Rex and the Jim Monas that you know? Because
true.
There's a lot of people that were on board with that. Look, Lyle, that was a player that we all wanted, and we would have drafted him in the first round. So that story is a good one.
I have to start with an apology. I referred to you as buddy, and as we established with Joey Molinaro last week, we don't want to call people in a functioning society buddy. I think you genuinely are my buddy, so I guess it's okay. Sorry about that.
You didn't see me. I didn't even notice it.
Okay, good.
I appreciate it. I like being somebody's buddy.
Yeah, I think if it's a total stranger, right? If it's somebody that you really don't know, and they immediately start referring to you as buddy, it's patronizing, it's demeaning.
Agreed.
You should be ostracized from society, not unlike those who don't return their shopping carts, not unlike those who scream at the masters, get in the hole. Just brutal.
Great call by you.
Watching that.
I read that. That was a great call by you. I want to support you on that. It's not cool. It's not fun. It's as annoying as a torture chamber, bad Bluey episode when they get a little crying, a little loud on Bluey for parents.
Speaking of Bluey.
You know what I'm saying, though? There's sometimes where they get a little loud on that show with the complaining a little bit, the kids. Anyway, point being is, yeah, not a fun noise to say.
I don't know. You just got me into a Bluey mode, though, now, Jim, because the episode that they dropped over the weekend was an all-timer. It was a long episode.
I was going to text you to see if you guys kept a dry eye. I watched it with my son. We watched it.
Did you cry?
It was tough. I fought it for the sake of, I get the episode. I don't know if I'm ready to go down that. Like if my son asked me, why am I crying? I don't know how I was going to answer that.
My wife has cried multiple times. She's watched it multiple times.
It's
full
a great
tears,
episode.
sobbing. Great episode. So I finally watched it. And yes, I did shed a tear. I'm mad enough to admit it. I cried during a Bluey episode. What of it?
I fought. What of it? No, I'm not against crying on things. Trust me. When I watched that movie Rounders and he got caught.
I think it's just a straight up good show at this point. It's obviously the best kids show, but it's just a really good TV show. The writing is great. The characters are established. It's funny. I mean, it makes you feel like you'll never be the dad you want to be because the dad in Bluey, it's like dad of the year every episode. He's got both kids over his arms. He's playing nonstop. He's doing it all. He's doing it all. But it is a great show, as everybody knows who listens. But yes, back to your point. Saturday, you're going to hear stories that you're not going to hear on the podcast. And we're pretty unfiltered here. We try to be anyways. But in person, off the record, over a beer or three or four or five, you'll definitely hear some stories that you've never heard, you've never read. So definitely head on out. I'm sure Nick Fatty, Chris will be there. Cesare, it should be a really good time. Okay. Let's really get into this draft. Okay. We've got Bob McGinn's series launching Wednesday morning with the wide receivers and the tight ends. And we've kind of danced around different topics here on the Go Long Show, but I want to devote a full episode to the quarterbacks, where they fit. I guess the fits that we'd like to see, because that's really half the story. As much as we love to dissect YouTube clips, highlights, lowlights, all of that, and their individual pros and cons, I feel like it always comes back to the team building the infrastructure for the right quarterback. So that will be a big part of today's conversation. And I have a really good feeling that we're going to meander on back to one quarterback above them all, Mr. Drake May at North Carolina. Finally, watched some full games of Mr. May, and I have a few takes to share. Right now, I'm getting the stink eye from Ed, our dog, by the way, because I didn't give him any table scraps. So we're not starting off on the right note. I should have thrown out a bone, but he's giving it to me right now, Jim. You don't have a dog, right?
No, that okay. Lifestyle is tough. Dogs, I mean,
that'd be tough.
That's a commitment.
So
they deserve a commitment. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't have that. I don't have that commitment.
Drake May, do you like him? Do you not like him? Where do you want to start?
Like Drake May's physical skill set to develop. Yes. And where do you have to draft that player? Doesn't fit where you would grade that player. Does that make sense as a scout? So when I watch Drake May, what I like coming out of this is his arm strength. It's off the chart stuff. But Tyler, I talk about the grown man. That's how we rate quarterbacks and how we score quarterbacks when you grade film. Yeah, you see it with him, but he has a lot of opportunities to make grown man plays. And a lot of times, he is just whipping that thing as hard as he can. His accuracy to me is too scary. And I'm not saying, and we're going to talk about this, I'm sure, because I know we talked about you can get better accuracy-wise. So, okay, that's fair. I'm not against that. He will get better. But it's unnatural to me for him to miss as many touchdowns as I felt like he missed. I thought he left a lot out there this year. So to me, I always talk about him being an Aaron Judge or a Chapman relief pitcher, just home run hitter or fireball pitcher. Love that. Certainly a spot for that. I just think it needs developed. Is that a good way to say that I like it? I do like him. I'm just not. And Tyler, where he has to go this year? Obviously, he's a top five physical skill set. I don't think he's a top five quarterback, but that's where you have to take him.
I mean, that's a phenomenal breakdown because it's hard to disagree. I like Drake May a lot and get into why. But if Drake May goes to the New England Patriots, as basically we projected with Phil Perry, last week. We had him on, excellent NBC Sports Boston reporter. He has his finger on the pulse. Everything Patriots. It's looking like Caleb Williams to Chicago. It's looking like Jaden Daniels to the Washington Commanders. If Drake May does go to the Patriots, I'm going to be bummed out. I'm not going to lie. And that's nothing against Elliot Wolf and Jerod Mayo and what the future could look like for the Patriots. But for the love of God, look at that team. Look at the roster. Look what he has around him. It's going to be rough. And they can say that Jacoby Brissett will start this season as the sacrificial lamb, I suppose. And maybe he does. The pressure of the market, the pressure to play a third overall pick. Third overall picks, they're going to play. They're going to play as a rookie. You can't sit a third overall pick for a full season, especially given it's a new regime. I would imagine instinctually they're going to want to get him out there at some point when they're 1-7 and see what they have. But I just don't like that fit at all. Now, if Drake May goes to the New York Giants, Brian Daboll, who I believe is the best, if not one of the best teachers of the position in pro football. If Drake May goes to the Minnesota Vikings with Kevin O'Connell, who's in that same tier, and he's got Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson and Jordan Addison and two good tackles and Aaron Jones. And that is an offense that uses the middle of the field, and they're going to be able to take those deep shots. He can attempt those effort throws with Justin Jefferson's, which, by the way, you better pay Justin Jefferson. He's not a voluntary workouts and he's probably unhappy. Just pay him whatever he wants and move on. He's that good. I love both of those fits. I do. I think if Drake, that we're not fans of teams in this business, but I am a fan of quarterbacks, especially, but players with talent going to the right place and maximizing everything they could possibly become. And I think with those teams, he could realistically sit. Sam Darnold with the Vikings, Daniel Jones. I mean, you're paying him that much money. You would like him to succeed. And if he does succeed, then great, but you can't count on that. And you can't count on him staying healthy. And I'm sure Brian Daboll is just dying to get his hands on his own quarterback. I mean, they're talking to all these guys. They're meeting with all these guys. I think Jaden Daniels, most recently, he's going to want his guy. And I guarantee you, he has seen a lot of Josh Allen and Drake May. And body type, yes, but demeanor. Everything I hear about Drake May is the kind of stuff you hear about Josh Allen in terms of just like letting stuff roll off him, treating it like it's his backyard. Having fun, guys railing around him, gravitating toward him. And you do have a lot of mistakes, and we'll get into the nitty gritty of it all, but I agree. He's a project. And I think that the Giants and the Vikings, gut feeling more than intel, are going to do what they can to move up and get this quarterback. Do the Patriots like, I mean, the Patriots have a ton of needs. They could easily get those two teams bidding against each other and move down. But as we talked about with Phil, if you've got a shot at a quarterback, you better take that quarterback if you even like him, let alone love him, because you might not get that opportunity again. I'm just psyched because this is a hell of a lot more fun than discussing, you know, Eric Fisher with number one overall to the Chiefs or Trayvon Walker versus Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, this is a exceptionally fun draft. But do you agree with those fits? Like if Drake May goes to the Giants with Daboll, the Vikings with O'Connell, with what you've seen out of him, Jim Monas, former Eagle scout, former Saints scout, former Bills director of personnel, could he be the best quarterback in this draft?
Of course. And if the Patriots have conviction on him, to your point, they should take him. Have Elliot Wolf call Terry Pegula to see how that excuse sounds that you're not ready to develop a quarterback. So if the Patriots like Drake May, take him.
That's so true. I mean, you can't let ifs and buts and hesitation, and it's a long 3, 4, 5 months up to the draft, and we're at that point now. But whatever Elliot Wolf felt about him, like the first time he saw him. Remember we had Josh Lucas on who you scouted with the Saints.
I just talked to Josh the other night. Yeah.
One of my favorite all-time pods that we've done. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I'd have to listen back. But I believe he said, like, the first time he saw Patrick Mahomes, he loved what he saw with the Bears and almost caught himself overthinking and talked himself out of Mahomes. Similar to how you and Doug kind of viewed him here, right? Because it's like, can he do this in the NFL? But if you see a guy and you trust your football instincts and you know what it takes to be a star quarterback, believe that, right? Don't fall into paralysis by analysis.
Yes, you just nailed it. And it's why I'm smiling while thinking about this draft with May, because his tape did not compare to Mahomes' tape for me.
I'm not saying that.
But my point is that if it does for some people, because it does seem like there are people that have that, that's my, just take it. If you see it, believe it. This is your chance. That's why I talked about this. These guys all have traits, these quarterbacks. And I like that you started watching these guys now and you've heard more and done your research. So you're getting a little more into it. I feel like I was doing this. I was telling you about this during the season, because I was telling you, Tyler, I was loving watching these quarterbacks. I knew it was going to be, I wanted to get ahead of the game because I knew it was going to be that type of quarterback draft. Because I think Bo Nix and Penix, seriously, you could grade them as a scout higher than McCarthy and May, of course, off the tape. But it's the upside that you're hoping you get with McCarthy and May. And this is where, this is where drafts get wild. Okay. So,
and this is where I think you are right and Kurt Warner's wrong. Sorry to interrupt you, but I think this is where you were right. Remember Kurt Warner? And I kind of agreed with Kurt originally with the tweet he had saying, like, it's so hard to study college offenses because they're not doing what they'll be asked to do in the pros. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. I liked your reaction to that. It's like you really have to project. That's the whole name of the game. That's what scouting is. What you're seeing on film is not what you're going to be rolling out on NFL Sundays. It's all a projection.
Do you think we really knew that Jyre Evans, after dominating Division II football like nobody ever dominated a level of football, would actually come in and dominate the NFL the same way? No, you don't. If we knew that, we would have drafted him in the first round. I mean, it was a projection. It's what you do. And I guess that's why I love scouting so much. It's about the work you do in the fall. You're in the weeds at those schools, finding, looking at these players and getting your convictions. And now everybody's coming in on top of you as an area scout, all the media and people are coming in left and right. And you're like, hey, I'm telling you, we've been steady on this player all year. And this is when your bosses really appreciate you as an area scout, because you're like, hey, they told us about May. We, like Elliot Wolf might have that. We've been on May all year. We're good with everything we've seen. We're okay with the accuracy. We're good. That's all you need. Take them. As soon as you have that conviction, take them.
The Jets had a lot of conviction on Zach Wilson. They watched that BYU footage and said, Mahomes light. Look at the improvisation. Look at the creation. Look what he's doing outside of the pocket off a platform. It's what makes the NFL fun and maddening, depending what you're rooting for. And Drake May is the prime example of all of that. Just this week, not to give too much away, I'm going to have a pretty big story on the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams before the draft. So I gave Eric Kramer a call, who still holds the single season passing record for the Bears, which is unbelievable. 1995. No Bears quarterback has ever thrown for 30 touchdowns in a season. Jordan Love did it in year one. So I wanted Kramer's take on everything Bears and quarterback and who he likes. And he loves May. He loves Bo Nix. He's watched both a ton. And then I'm speaking to somebody right before we did this podcast for the story. Let's just say he has intimate knowledge of the Chicago Bears organization, has watched these quarterbacks. And I said, hey, I kind of like this Drake May. And if I was at the top of a draft, I'd seriously think about taking him. I'd think about him if I was the Bears. And he was disgusted, pretty much. He could not believe that those words were uttered, and said that he said that he goes, oh, he's like, he's another Trubisky. And then he paused and he goes, well, I don't want to take a shot at Trubisky like that. He's worse than Trubisky. That was his take. So, and that's just, you know, conversations in the last 2 days anecdotally. You talk to any scout, any coach, any media member, any player, anybody that has watched the same exact footage of this quarterback, and you could get completely different takeaways. I love him. I would take him if I was running a team, because I think you have to lean into lessons learned, right? You always come back to 2017 and Mahomes and the lessons you learned from that draft. And I'm thinking back to watching Josh Allen out of Wyoming. I know I've referenced it a few times, but watching that Oregon game was ugly. I remember thinking, man, I don't know if he'll ever be accurate. I mean, look at these chances he's taken. Ugh. Bad. Rookie year was still kind of all over the place. Just, you know, wild stallion is putting it kind. It was unhinged quarterback play. Still wasn't really sold. Even in the year two, I don't. Well, he turned a corner. He's one of the best quarterbacks in football. Lesson learned, right? If you've got rare physical ability, you can figure the other stuff out. And that's kind of why I had one of the reasons I had a lot of conviction on Jordan Love. It's go back and watch his Utah State final season. It was ugly at times. Similar to Drake May, North Carolina, that last year, a ton of graduations, a ton of injuries, just the mess around them. It factors into it. And I thought his athleticism, his size, there were a few throws that were so similar when they're kind of like backpedaling it and still throwing it into a tight spot. Maybe it bit him in the ass sometimes. But maybe they made the completion. Give me that fearlessness over somebody who's too careful with the right coaching. That's why it's all about coaching and situation. There were so many plays against Clemson. There's a touchdown. He's like floating back to avoid the rush. Two dudes right in his face. That was the one that reminded me of Love. I mean, there's a throw against Syracuse, which as a Syracuse alum, maybe it's not saying too much, but I mean, he steps into a throw from his own 45 in stride to the goal line. I mean, the deep shots are there. He missed some. Don't get me wrong. He missed some, but the deep shots are there. And then he just creates in ways the other quarterbacks in this class don't. There was a 2-point play where it looks like he's going to run in for it. This was so Josh Allen-esque. Looks like he's going to run in for it. Takes a shot right to the midsection and throws it. A 4th and 6 versus Clemson on a rope down the sideline. You talk about big boy throws. They're getting killed by NC State. Rolls left, flips the torso around, has a dude chasing him, and just, I mean, his arm angles are different. He's seeing the whole field. He's thrown it to every spot of the field. I'm no expert, but it seems like he's calling his own protections. He's commanding a lot at the line of scrimmage. Like, he's running the offense. And when you think about college football, it almost goes without saying with a lot of these guys that they're just being told what play to run. Somebody else is doing the projections and they're just relying completely on their arm, their athleticism. And then they're asked to do some of that stuff and it slows them up in the pros. That's not going to be a problem for Drake May. Seeing him manipulate DBs with a pump fake or with his eyes. I agree. His floor is crazy. Who knows what his floor is? He could completely bust. He might bust. But I think the ceiling and the potential is so enormous that I would be okay going for it. I mean, think about it, Jim. Like, if you're a GM, if you're a coach, and you've got to deal with some of these quarterbacks, Mahomes and Allen and Burrow and Lamar and Stroud. See who else takes a step. Are you going to try to get to that level by drafting J.J. McCarthy? Are you going to try to get to that level by trading down and maybe kicking the can down the road to 2025? Or I see enough in Drake May where I would just risk it. Just go for it.
So once again, I'm with you. You're saying this is where I think you need to change how you're saying this. When you say you like May and you would risk or take him, I'm agreeing with you. This is where you have to take May. If you believe in him, like you're saying you believe in him. The key is what you need to say is you believe in him over who in this draft. That's how you need to phrase it. Are you saying you like him better than if you were the Patriots and Daniels and Williams are off the board, you would take May, you would have take May over Nicks, you would take May over McCarthy. That's what you're saying, correct?
I'd take May over J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Over Jaden Daniels. Yeah. And maybe even over Caleb Williams. I would think about it. I think about it with Caleb Williams.
Gotcha. All right.
I think it's closer.
Okay.
And I like Caleb Williams a lot, but
so for me
there are some little red flags that we'll see what comes of it.
So for grown man, just how I score these guys, just the grown man percentage plays for me, where Caleb Williams for me had a 19%, May had like a 7%. That was the gap. Like for grown man plays, May has a lot of attempts. He's got a lot of wild, like he's, I see what you're, I don't see him as, I see him as a good athlete. I'm not against him. And I would take him, like I said, if you believe in this, sit him. You just for a year. It'd be great. Happy. If it's the Patriots and it might happen quicker than you think, you'll know when the time is. But as an organization, you are committing to him. You already know this. You're in no panic mode this year with him. It's develop time. So, but that being said, he's probably going to get on the field. Injury, I mean, I don't know. I'm just going to play percentages. I don't wish injuries on anybody, but it's just hard to stay healthy. You know, that's all I'm trying to say on that. So, yes, I am all for the Patriots in May. I like just how you said, you have that conviction on him. I'm not disagreeing with you on Daniels. I've explained to you how I feel about Daniels. He's a first round talent that you are going to have to, you are relying on his legs, just like Lamar, just like Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
Those players need their legs to max out their talent. And if that concerns you as an organization, that style of offense and that risk of injury to your quarterback, then, you know, Daniels isn't your type.
Alex Van Pelt's in New England, so I think he'd have some good coaching. You're not.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, I like that.
You're not talking to Matt Patricia and Joe Judge here. Overseeing the development of Mac Jones. So it, from that standpoint, it's solid infrastructure. But
you didn't talk.
You know,
about
they lost out on Calvin Ridley. Juju Smith-Schuster. What was the news? He Snapchatted his genitalia by accident. Isn't that something? Oh, whoops-a-daisy. Like, I'm sorry, but not many people just accidentally take pictures of their private parts and then share them with the world. Like, oh, my God. Yes, if I'm Minnesota, if I'm the New York Giants, I'd be willing to part with future draft capital. Brandon Bean said it best at the Combine. When he was asked about trading up for Josh Allen, and granted, they had an assist from you and Doug Whaley, right, with that extra first from the Tre'Davious White trade, all that. But this applies to every GM, every team, any situation. Like, you don't know if you're going to be in charge in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. If you believe in a quarterback and you want to make your move, just trade a future first. Trade whatever it takes to go get that guy. What, you're going to miss out on a cornerback with the 12th or 13th pick down the road? We were texting just a couple weeks ago, and it's like even that's the Sammy Watkins trade, like trading a future first to move up for him. If you go and then look at that 2015 draft and what you quote unquote missed out on, some drafts just stink and there's not a lot of firepower, not a lot of star power. So yeah, if I'm Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell, if I'm Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, and I like this Drake May situation, and I feel like I've got a veteran who can realistically start this season, I'm doing everything in my power to go get him. And for all we know, they feel that way about J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix. Who knows?
Well, you just – that's right there is the whole – that's why you can't do mock drafts.
Right.
You just thumbed up mock drafts. Who knows? Tyler, you didn't bring up the – for May, I had another game that I had that I he was crazy good in. It doesn't matter to me. It was against Campbell where – like, believe it or not, he scored crazy. Like, he came in, didn't, you know, they, but his throws were nuts. His grown man stuff that game was like
Campbell.
But that still, those plays were real. So, to your point, it's out there. Yep. There's going to be, it just takes one person to fall in love with you.
I think there's a lesson learned in Justin Herbert, even too, as we got closer to that draft, it felt like a lot of really smart people were talking themselves out of Justin Herbert. Nitpicking his last year at Oregon, seeing regression. Boy, they have similar body types. They make similar throws. I'm trying to think of a quarterback who had the same physical attributes as Drake May and just failed spectacularly. Does anybody come to mind?
Well, I don't. That's a good one. Let me think about an inaccurate big arm quarterback. Yeah, I got to think on that one. Let me go look at some quarterback drafts.
Because,
that's a good one.
Because the game's changed. You can gain accuracy, right? If you've got the stuff that you can't teach that Josh Allen had, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love. Now, Jordan Love was able to sit 3 years. Drake May probably isn't sitting 3 years behind a future Hall of Famer. But that's the perfect situation. Get drafted to the right coach, the right team, the right weapons around you, all of that. Sit and then play.
But
we'll see what happens.
Think, I don't see. Yeah, I mean, why can't I? Don't you think the Patriots that works for him, like to sit?
It like, might. I guess
I don't
I'm,
see what the difference is there compared to anywhere. That's. I guess that's what would be my thing. I wouldn't. That shouldn't scare the Patriots from taking a quarterback, like we said.
No, I think they should take him. I absolutely.
You
should,
just don't
should,
think that's
the draft. Great,
yeah.
I feel like. This is the media in me. Like, I feel like the market is going to be very vibrant when the Patriots are 1-4. However, the season starts, they're probably not going to be very good, and the pressure will mount to start Drake May before you'd really prefer. It's going to be really hard to just roll out Jacoby Brissett week in, week out. Know what you're going to get, know you're going to lose, need to fill the stadium with fans, need to do something when you need a spark and you know that your receivers aren't that great and you know the situation isn't ideal. He's going to play sooner than he probably should. So yeah, give me Minnesota where maybe it gets to the same inflection point with Sam Darnold and the Vikings and that pressure's there, but guess what? Now he's stepping into nice cozy dome with the best receiver in football, last year's best rookie receiver, two rock solid tackles, fantastic coaching. I do think it's a lot different. Here's a question though for you, Jim. Like, I mean, when you're studying film, and maybe this is something that's changed over time as well. I feel like whether it was Love at Utah State that last year, May the last year at North Carolina, even to an extent, Caleb Williams. I mean, his line at USC was not good last season. Mm. He wasn't able to play within structure because he didn't have any time. Like, it's hard to hold that against him. You know, the best comparison for Caleb Williams, by the way, I think is Allen Iverson on those Sixer teams. Ooh. Think about Allen Iverson carrying that team to the finals where he's got like Eric Snow and Aaron McKee and Tyrone Hill, Todd McCullough, Matt Geiger, and he just had to, every possession, create. I mean, you didn't know. It could have been a three-pointer. It could have been a fadeaway. He could have taken it to the 10. He's going to shoot it 30, 40 times and 30, 40 different ways. That was kind of Caleb Williams last year, creating with USC. But my question for you, like, do bad offenses and bad situations create bad habits that can stick? You know what I mean? Because you do see bad habits in Drake May. And you even saw some of the Jordan Love, and then he was able to sit behind Aaron Rodgers for 3 years and learn and develop and threw for more touchdowns than any Bears quarterback. Bears repeating. But that's probably what you're asking yourself if you're in a front office right now studying Drake May. Like, he's taking these unnecessary risks. He's really not that deliberate with the football in terms of, like, taking care of it consistently. Allen and Herbert didn't really have that problem to May's extent. But, yeah, like, do bad offenses create bad habits that can last in the NFL?
Of course. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking a player like maybe not bad habits and opportunity, maybe. That combination, I think about Tyrod Taylor as far as he was stuck. Like, he knew he was stuck at a place that did value him. Like, it wasn't like they didn't ever want to lose Tyrod, but, you know, that was a situation for him that worked. Now, he gets a coach like Anthony Lynn. Now, here's where I'm going with this, that Anthony Lynn and Tyrod, that combo was pretty. Like, those games were – the way we were running the ball and using Tyrod in that backfield in Buffalo in those – whatever those years were, maybe 15, 16. I like that. I like the way that looked. As far as creative, you know, with Greg Roman too, you know, before he left. But when he left, I thought really Anthony Lynn and Tyrod really gelled. And then it just – Tyrod hasn't had success anywhere else. So I guess not success, I shouldn't say success, but hasn't had starter type, you know, and it's not all his fault. We know the whole thing with the Chargers, but point being is he fits a coach, a system. It matters to Tyrod. He can't just go anywhere. So that, I feel like that's where a system does matter. And then creating bad habits, it goes the opposite way too, where a guy like a Paxton Lynch is always a good example where he wasn't.
There's the physical attributes that then work out.
But I was thinking about him, though. I was going to go back to this because you made a good point about May as far as who does he compare to? And I'm going back. He's a different guy, to your point. It's hard to find somebody that compares to him because May was a better athlete than not Josh Allen. Who'd you just Herbert? Say? I'm sorry. I'm looking at all these quarterbacks right now. But point being is May is unique. You're getting a unique physical skill set, Tyler. Like, I like that. It's a hard guy to find a comparison to. Like, I'm just going through. That's why I keep looking. I'm like, nope, because he is a good athlete. A lot of these guys can't move.
Probably the best examples for bad offenses, not creating. Bad habits that can last for years and years would be what we've seen with Mahomes getting with Andy Reid, Josh Allen getting with Brian Daboll. You know, maybe you throw Love with LaFleur in there. Like, who knows what happens? I mean, you've come back to this point as well. Like, you guys weren't set up for Patrick Mahomes to start and excel right out of the chute. If he's with Rick Dennison throwing the ball to Kelvin Benjamin and Deontay Thompson, like, who the hell knows if the whatever habits that he developed at Texas Tech that he could get away with could really work in the pros.
At the end of the day, it would have been a stunt in his, you're stunting his growth. Basically, you know, it's the superstar in him was going to come to the top no matter what.
Yeah.
It was going to come through anything. You know, I don't know if it would have translated to Super Bowls. Like, I don't know about the team success, but as a superstar, he would have been putting on a show. Everybody would have seen it. I mean, it'd been, no coach could stop Mahomes.
The Giants still need a wide receiver, though. Okay. You know, they could draft a wide receiver if they want there. Say they do move up, they get Drake May. J.J. McCarthy, a quarterback of the future. Here's the receivers in New York. Jalin Hyatt, Darius Slayton, Wandale Robinson, Isaiah McKenzie. Isaiah, former podcast co-host here at Go Long. He's going to be rocking the 8-7 out there with the Giants. Miles Boykin, Isaiah Hodgins, Darren Waller is still mulling retirement. I mean, you probably need both, unless you're Green Bay just drafting receivers to that degree.
Well, Tyler, good thing for the Giants, it's a strong year for receivers, so you can get one in the second round, because go ahead and take one in the first. It's time for me. It's take one and get ready to move on.
What would it take to move from 6 to 3?
This is their chance. This is their chance to put a staple on the organization, you know, their stamp on the organization for Joe, for Dable, Joe Shane, for Brian Dable. This is their chance. Find your guy. Get convicted on him however you can. And this is your shot. It buys you time as a GM and coach. It's going to buy you some time. Daniel Jones, you did the contract, but you didn't draft him.
I'm glad you brought that point up.
It doesn't matter anymore, Tyler. Apparently that doesn't matter anymore. You can extend Diggs. You can extend Daniel Jones and turn around a year later and it's didn't really quite go as we saw. We're going to have to eat that money. I don't understand. That used to mean something, but it must be a good thing to be an NFL owner these days.
Yeah. I'm thinking back to my conversation with Joe Shane last year, and I think he deserved credit for not walking into that organization and thinking, we got to pour the gasoline, light it on fire, build from the ground up. They did try to identify, you know, cornerstone pieces. Dexter Lawrence, right? They re-signed him. Andrew Thomas, you know, great left tackle. Saquon for a year, and then Daniel Jones. And it was a contract that wasn't what it appeared initially. It wasn't this four-year monster deal, but it was still pretty big. You know, they can get out of it after 2 years at a pretty hefty price. So you're still on the hook for him this year if you want to move on. But I think you're absolutely right. If you're a GM, if you're Joe Shane, if you're living out of Marriott's your entire life, if you're missing kids' birthday parties and peewee football championships, if you're dedicating everything to this sport and this opportunity, and I asked him this, like, I mean, I'm like, I'm impressed that you did run it back with Daniel Jones, given that urge to want to get your guy. They didn't deem last year as the time. I don't really don't know what their other options would have been with where they were picking and what they even could have done at quarterback, right? Part of it's necessity. Now, clearly it is time, I think, to do exactly what you said. Put your stamp on this franchise. Hey, you don't know what ownership's gonna think if this thing turns sideways again. And last year turned sideways for everybody involved. You need something to hang your hat on. And look, if you draft a quarterback, be it May, be it McCarthy, hell, Nix, Penix, whoever, and Daniel Jones miraculously is everything you hoped he would be when you signed with that contract, that's a good problem to have. It's a great problem to have. So, yeah, and what's the downside, right? What, you miss out on a Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers. Yeah, that stinks. I mean, both of those receivers could be all pros. Quarterback is too important. Look at all the teams that have won Super Bowls. Look at their quarterbacks and look at their wide receivers. It's all about quarterback. You've got to take a shot.
Tyler, I'm just going to keep using references. Don't draft a receiver that has talent if the quarterback isn't in place. I mean, we did that with Sammy. It didn't matter if it was Sammy, if it was Odell, it wouldn't have mattered. They weren't going to max out that player just based on our offense, the quarterback situation. I'm not even just saying EJ. I'm just saying the whole situation wasn't set up at quarterback for a receiver to succeed. So if Daniel Jones isn't your guy, get your guy.
So that's really the question central to the decision is, how much do you love Daniel Jones?
Don't.
The answer, even if you do love him.
No, you're right. You're right.
Even if you do, he hasn't stayed healthy.
There
you can't count on him.
There is nobody that has had more chances. We've talked about it. So I can't get over how many times I feel like we keep saying we don't know if he's good or not. I've been pretty good on it, on my stance on him for a couple of years. I'm ready to move on from him. Good luck. Did you hear that he's getting that compared to that Adam Gase press conference with the eyes?
Yeah, I felt bad for Gase, and I feel bad for Daniel Jones with the eyes. I don't know. I feel like it was a little overblown.
It is way overblown. It's just funny that it's just funny, the coincidence, you know, how it looks. But
so I agree five with you. Seasons. He's only had one full season, to your point.
That's what I'm saying. You could just go right off that. You could say enough. We have tried. We can't get a full year. But I get the tease. There was that tease of the offense showed signs of life. You had some success. You know, when you dug deep and realized you were winning some of those close games, you know, luck is sometimes on your side. You know, it's a fine line between being whatever they were. I'll just say whatever, 10-7 or 7-10. That is truly a fine line, is my point. And you really, as an organization, need to get that out of your head, the record, and get it to the core. Is he the right quarterback or not? Are we 10-7 because of him? Or are we 10 and are we lucky to be 10-7?
To play Mr. Sunnyside up here, Daniel Jones did he threw for 3,200 yards. He ran for over 700. He scored 22 touchdowns. Only threw five picks. His completion percentage jumped up to 67.2. But a lot of it was smoke and mirrors, wasn't it? I'm thinking back to some of those giant wins. There were a lot of smoke and mirrors involved, a lot of Saquon Barkley involved, maybe some good fortune sprinkled in there. And then last year, all of the injuries, the neck, the ACL, obviously the offensive line was a sieve, completely fell apart. But he won one game, lost five, turned it over a ton. Five years. I mean, 5 years, you should know what a quarterback is.
Super Bowl quarterbacks, I'm fortunate enough to have been around them with McNabb and Drew Brees. They don't have roller coaster rides. It's not a roller coaster ride every year, every game. They might have a bad game or two. You know, everybody's going to have some bad games. But it's like, it can't be bad seasons. And one, ooh, good season. And, oh, that was a terrible season. Oh, he's hurt again. Oh, that was an okay season. No. If he's your guy, it's consistent. That is your rock. That's your rock.
Before we sign off, I want to hear Jim Monas's preferred quarterback fits. So you've watched all of these quarterbacks. Where would you love to see these quarterbacks go so they can maximize everything they can become?
I'm good with the one too. I'm good with Kate. Like, I get okay. I see what you're saying. I don't know if anybody should ever go to the Bears. So that's this is going to be a hard question. So should I do, because maybe I'd like to see Caleb Williams with McVay. How about that?
Well, I guess it within the realm of reason and what could happen, even though we do despise mock drafts.
So, all right. So Bear, he's going to go to the Bears, and good luck, Caleb. We'll go with that. Good luck on that one. We talked about it. That structure scares me to death for him. And if there are concerns with him, that's a whole other thing. I don't personally have concerns with him as a player. I'm worried about that organization. Okay. Then are we good with Daniels to Washington? We feel good.
With Anthony Lynn, right? You mentioned Anthony Lynn with Tyrod earlier.
I'm all in on this.
Good fit.
Yep. I like that fit. Go all in. I like Daniels. I like the chance. Yes. Love it. Okay.
And Cliff. Next? I'm sorry. And Cliff Kingsbury. So.
All of
two good fits, sir.
I'm good with all. It all sounds good to me. That I like him as a player. Like he's like I said. That it's fun that area is going to have that whole the DMV area. It's going to have Lamar and Daniels. That's highlight reel. Okay, so who's after? Okay, who we got? Who's projected next?
It could be a team. It could be a team moving up. I just want it like the. Drake May, like what team would you love to see him go to that would get the most out of him?
You nailed it. Minnesota. I want to see what he could do with it. I like that one. I'm into that comparison, or that, I mean, that matchup, because what he did with what he did last year was impressive, and what he's done with Cousins. I mean, those numbers are real. So he's proven he can work with quarterbacks. So let's give him a completely raw canvas, and as far as the arm, and can you mold it? Fine-tune it.
I like that.
Because it's the detail. It's the professional part. It's the, you know, I don't know. I didn't dig it, you know, as Mace, but it sounds like he loves football. And it sounds like, you know, O'Connell knows how to, he knows how it should look. He's been around it. I believe it. I like the way I trust him as developing quarterbacks.
Jefferson's still young too, by the way.
I mean, I would only talk about that. Like, you're handing him.
He can grow with this quarterback. Yeah. And they picked up the extra first. So, you know, Phil Perry dissected what it would take to move up, and it's a lot. I mean, if Trey Lance and that trade is the barometer, it would cost a lot, but who cares if you hit? J.J. McCarthy?
Real quick. So Sam Darnold is a good example of a raw physical. He has a real physical skill set. Highlight real stuff. We talk about the grown man stuff. It score. He can score big in games because he makes plays that other quarterbacks can't make. No matter where he's been, though, Darnold can't get over the decision making, and the accuracy for him has never improved. That is consistent everywhere he goes. So here would be an amazing turn if he could get something out of Darnold as well. Okay, McCarthy. This one needs to sit, just like May. I just feel those guys need to sit. So give me your favorite projection for a team. I would like to see Sean Payton get May or McCarthy. Whichever one he takes of those guys, that would be an awesome to see if he could develop one of those two.
Where do Nix and Penix land then?
They land for a team and organization for me. And this is what I talked about. I like Nix. If you're committed to him, he's ready. You can start him. He's ready to go. You can draft and start him. He's ready to play. Basically what you're saying is, you feel stronger about Bo Nix right now for the next 5 years, 6 years, hopefully longer, than you do in developing McCarthy or May. If you take Nix over them, that's what you're telling your owner and your team. Like, no, hey, Nix is coming in. We don't want to sit. We're not trying to develop anybody right now. I like Bo Nix. I like Penix. These guys are proven guys as far as their age, where they've gone, what they've done, their resume scream, plug and play. Doesn't mean you're going to make it, but that is how you differ. That's why these guys are different. Yeah. There are developmental guys, and they're guys that I think you can plug and play.
Yeah, I could see the Giants going with McCarthy if they stay at six. I could see Nix going to Sean Payton in Denver.
I'm for that. I mean,
he's gonna want the anti Russell Wilson. He's not gonna want a quarterback that is
just remember
outside of the pocket created. He's gonna want quick decision makers. Take that first throw, take that first read. That's Nix, right?
Oh, that's what he does.
Yeah.
I just know that Coach Payton wanted Mahomes.
Yeah.
Won't ever that's forget true. That. So if he's into May, I could see that. I could see where he wants to get his hands on. Just give me that big arm, and I'll go to. I'll figure that rest out.
Definitely could see the Raiders not screwing around and taking Michael Penix in the first round too. I mean, are you really going to roll with this Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell situation?
That team, are they set up to? What are they set up to do?
They got 50 mil per year wrapped up into two D linemen who are fantastic D linemen.
No
Christian Wilkins, Max Crosby, but you need the quarterback. If they're going to talk bad boys, Pistons, Mahomes rules. I mean, those Pistons weren't shit without Isaiah Thomas. So you're going to need a star. But I don't even know. I guess I'm a little not as high on Penix, because I feel like his highlights, he really does have to set up and throw, have a clean platform, and those receivers were studs.
Tyler, he's the of the group. He's the, you know, he's my sixth of group, but he is a backup to me. I would not draft and start him. I'm saying somebody could talk themselves into it. I agree with you. I don't see it personally with him. There's two, like I said, I love the big boy plays that he makes. It's fun to watch, but the gritty detail down in, down out, there's some inconsistencies with him accuracy wise and his mobility. Yes, he can run a 40, but to your point, he's not real flexible in torquing his body to make those off platform throws.
That we like he's the anti-May. There's nothing off platform torquing the body around.
It's Aaron Judge, it's Chapman. It's humming. Yeah. It's humming.
All right, let's sign off right there. Everybody get to Fatty Beer Company in Hamburg, New York for our pre-draft extravaganza Saturday. Jim will be there, Matthew Fairburn, Jay Skursky, Jeremy White. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. We'll just talk draft just like we do here, and you're definitely going to hear some stories that won't make their way onto the podcast. And subscribe if you're on the free list or just listening to the pod. Make sure you upgrade to a paid subscription ASAP to get Bob McGinn's 9-part series based on conversations with scouts and execs across the NFL. That launches Wednesday a.m. Thank you so much, everyone.